Well, I want to just one more time thank the pastor, especially the pastor, for everything that he's done for us, just accommodating us, and the church, and this morning, the food was tremendous. It was so good. You had a diverse kind of food. You had all kinds of different flavors, and it was all good. I think I was able to try most of it, if not all of it, at least try it, and so that was amazing. And yeah, we've been well fed yesterday and today, and at the pastor's house, and it's been a real blessing to fellowship with him. I did not know him until now. I had heard of his name, but I had not had any associations with him, and it's been a real blessing to get to know him, and I trust that we'll be able to have a friendship from here on out, and I'm excited about that. And so our sending church, it is Calvary Baptist Church in Tabor, and our missions board is Canamara Baptist Missions International from Winkler, Manitoba through Pemina Valley. And so that's a real blessing to know that we're all of the same faith, and just the fellowship is good. We know the director, Brother Jake Friesen, personally. He was my wife's Sunday school teacher, him and his wife, when she was a little girl. And so that's a blessing to just have that connection there, for sure. This evening, we'll take our Bibles and we'll go to Matthew chapter 19. Go to Matthew chapter 19. We'll read verse 26. It says, Matthew 19:26, "But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Let's pray. Dear God, we do thank you for this evening. We thank you for the opportunity to be in church again and for each one here. We again thank you for the baptism this morning. What a good testimony. And we thank you for this missions conference. And Lord, let the whole world know. And Lord, I do pray that we would grasp that vision. And Lord, I do pray that you would help us with it, Lord. With us, this is impossible. But with you, Lord, this can be accomplished. And we can have a part in it. And we do pray this evening that you'd help me to just preach the word. Help each one to receive it and give wisdom to make the application. In Jesus' name, amen. So with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Your pastor mentioned just briefly again, just a little bit about some creative access nations. There are some countries in this world that just, it is a difficult situation to get in there. But yet people are doing it, and we are seeing souls saved because of it. It is God's will. And so, but with God, all things are possible. So you're going to have that confidence. You're going to have that confidence even just right here. Even just knocking on a door or witnessing to someone on the street or in the store, you're going to have the confidence that with God, this is possible. He can save that soul. So through the Bible, especially through the New Testament, but through the Bible, we find it very clear that evangelism is God's will. It is very evident when you go through Matthew 28. Matthew 28, well, at the end of each book, actually, at the each one of the Gospels, after Jesus' resurrection, his main focus was to tell his disciples one last time, it is going to be up to you now, and I'm giving you a task, and the task is one thing, it is you witnessing to the whole world, and it's going to be passed on to generation, and it has now come to us. It is now, the torch has been passed to us. It is now our responsibility in our time and in our area and in our world to reach every person the best as we can. And if you think about it, in our day and age, we have technology. It is, can you imagine the testimonies that, the way people get saved? Online, literature, all kinds of different ways people are getting saved. It's tremendous. God really has given us all these just fantastic tools that we can now use. And so we just need to look for opportunities. We need to open up a ministry, whatever that might be, if the Lord does in fact, call you to do that. Matthew chapter 28. We'll just read that passage actually, just to get it in our minds. We'll read. Start reading in Matthew 28, verse 18. It says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And we did learn a little bit this morning how that, you know, James was killed, but Peter was saved. You know, Jesus, all power is given unto him. Even today, he can perform miracles. He can allow things to happen in his way. And we may not understand it completely, but with God, all things are possible, and he has got a plan. And so we have to trust. But then it says in verse 19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." And that is an encouragement, because we need to know that he is with us always. But there's a statement made in here. It says, teaching them to observe all things. Teaching them to observe all things. Through the conference, the first challenge on Friday night was, can we be prayer warriors in regards to Matthew 9:38? Can we pray that the Lord will send forth laborers? And then can we be available to be one such laborer? And then this morning, can we trust God that he'll call us? Or are we, you know? But then this evening, it says here to teach them to observe all things. Now, you can't teach someone something that you don't know. You just can't. If I'm a welder, if you don't know how to weld and you come into the shop and I tell you to go teach someone to weld, it's just not going to happen. But if I teach you how to weld, then you know how to teach someone else how to weld. It's just simple. Same thing with the Bible. If you're going to want to teach someone the Bible, you're just going to have to know it. Now, if you have a testimony of salvation, that is pretty well all you need to share the gospel. Don't ever think that you don't know enough to share the gospel. If you have a testimony of salvation, share your testimony. That might just be all that next person needs. But nonetheless, if you have a testimony of salvation, God, there is a teaching in the Bible and a commandment to those who are saved to know more. It is up to us to know God better. And it is now, we now have a relationship with our Heavenly Father, and we should know more of the Bible each and every day and week and month and so on. We need to grow in the Lord. And so tonight the challenge will be, are you prepared? Are you educated? Are you teaching yourself? Are you allowing God to teach you so that you can then teach the others? And so what we're going to do is we're going to go to 2 Timothy. Actually, we'll do this first. We'll go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So already we know that we should pray for the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers. Now, when you get saved, there's something that takes place immediately, and that is 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. It says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." So when you get saved, you become an ambassador for Christ. So you're an ambassador for Christ. That's actually a big title. When you're an ambassador for a country, that's a big deal. And when you mess up, there's consequences for such a thing. And it's important that you have a good testimony for your country. Well, it's even more important that you have a good testimony for our Lord Jesus Christ, because he uses you for others. And your testimony is important for that. So you've become an ambassador for Christ. But now in 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we'll start right in verse 1 there. It says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." So we need the grace of God. And then it says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." See, it's an ongoing thing. And when it has become your responsibility, it's your responsibility. Then it becomes the next person's responsibility. And this goes with the family, from a dad to a child to a grandchild. This goes in a church, from a pastor to his people. This goes from generation to generation. Christians, faithful men have, you know, they've given us this book. Where would we be without the King James Bible? 500 years, not even 500 years, we've had the King James Bible. And it's done a tremendous work in the world. But someone had to actually do that. You realize that someone actually gave their time. And there was 50 men that were involved in this translation. So it was a big deal and a big work that they did. There has not yet been a translation that they took so serious as this one. Or at least that in the style that they translated this one. That's not to say there's not other translations in different languages that are not reliable. That's not what I'm saying at all. Even what we're doing, it's most definitely, I trust, we're going to take very, very seriously the method and the reproofing, and we trust that they will have a complete and reliable Bible. And I truly believe that we can do that, and that that is possible. But we've got the King James Bible. And can you trust it? I can trust it without a doubt. I can. The more I study this, and it's a sad thing how people are, how it becomes even a question in many Christians who've believed it for some time, and all of a sudden they fall from it and they say, we can, you know, maybe there's a version that we can understand better. Do you know that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit? And if you, I'm not saying you're not saved, but if you're not understanding the Bible and you think that there's an easier version to understand, there's a different issue. It's a hard issue between you and God. You're not understanding because God is not giving you the truth because you're not trusting him. And there's a hard issue, and you're not actually pursuing the will of God, and you're pursuing rather your own will. That's sad. That should not be us. But can you trust the King James Bible? I most definitely can. And the studies that I go over, it just solidifies more and more, and I just love it. I love what this book has done, and I love the methods they use to translate. But are we teaching the next generation? Are we teaching our children? Are we the examples? And is it going to, are our children going to be able to teach their children? And is it going to go on? Is there going to be a direct lineage from us many years down? Or is there going to have to be a break somewhere there's going to be a new set of Christians coming along because somewhere along the line, our lineage, I just wasn't able to hold up the truth no more. I trust not. But then it says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, it isn't always going to be easy being a Christian. But the fact of the matter is that should not be discouraging, because we already learned that God is always with us. Fact of the matter is people, lost people, always have hard times. This world is a sin-cursed world. There is problems. It doesn't matter. It does not matter if you're a Christian or not a Christian. You will endure hardship. If you're enduring hardship as a Christian, the devil will plant lies in your mind saying that you don't need to be suffering like this. Well, that's simply a lie, because now you can very easily just reject the truth and move on and make yourself comfortable. But then what happens if things get hard? Where are you going to turn then? Well, you can't. Then you have nowhere to go. Even Jesus' disciples said, where shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Jesus did ask his disciples, will ye go also? Because many left him, and Jesus, and they said, no. Where shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. This is our encouragement in a hard time. This is what we need when we're going through a trial. Now, many people don't have that. Millions grope in darkness. What a sad thing. What a sobering song. It says in verse 4, no man that worth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. When you become a soldier in this world for a country, there's some pretty serious discipline that takes place. And that's good. And I am for our military. But when we become a soldier for Jesus Christ, there should be certain disciplines that we put into our lives that makes us a little bit different than the rest of the world. We are now a Christian. There are certain things we don't do that the world does. And for a few reasons, one, to be a good testimony, but two, we should make ourselves available to study his word so that we can teach others. Again, you will not be able to teach someone if you don't know yourself. And often we come to a place where someone asks a question about a certain thing and we may not know the answer, and there's nothing wrong with that. We're forgetful people, but we should be able to know where we can find the answer. I'll get back to you tomorrow, and tomorrow, here's the answer. But for the most part, the basics we should most definitely know. We should know the Bible. Verse 6 says, the husbandman that laboreth must first be partaker of the fruits. Are we born again here tonight? Do we know Jesus Christ personally? Have we gotten saved? Have we been obedient to baptism? Have we been obedient to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ? Is our testimony right? Is our witnessing, do we witness? Verse 7 says, consider what I say, and the Lord gave the understanding in all things. God will do that. God will give you understanding. There's there's basic things of the Bible, but then there's complicated things of the Bible. You begin studying prophecy, and you have to decipher things according to time, when, and where, and to who it was written. There's some complicated things. Of course, the world deciphers them and comes up with really messed up conclusions. But that's not discouraging to me, because I know what the Bible says, and I've studied some of these things, and I'm encouraged right now today in our world. I'm encouraged with the Middle East situation going on. I'm encouraged with right where we are. It's good to be a Christian. It's good to know Jesus is coming, and it's good to know that God is with us no matter what. Verse 8 says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. According to my gospel. And that is our main message. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. That's encouraging. See, the church can often become the enemy. The church is the criminal. But we're not. But the gospel is not bound. You see, when Paul was even in prison, even there he had opportunities to share the gospel. But even that didn't discourage him, because he knew the gospel outside of the walls was being effective. You see, it does not matter. One man being in prison, God can still use him in there. But the gospel is, there is no bound. There's no boundaries. God can use the gospel. That's why when we have the opportunity, give it out. Do what you can. But the gospel cannot be contained. God's word cannot be contained. It cannot be destroyed. When you read the testimonies of the Dark Ages coming right through up to about the King James Bible era, about 1600s, they most definitely tried to destroy the word of God. And when you read some of the times, it looked like it was about to happen. It really did. It looked really dark. I mean, these men labored for they wrote it down, and it was difficult that the way they did it. But somehow we have it today. And this morning we learned about 3,500 languages, in fact, have at least some portions. That's really encouraging. That is amazing. Verse 10 says, therefore I endure hard all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. You see, some of your trials may very well be for someone else's sake. Someone else might be able to get saved because of a situation in your very life right now or in the future. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Have we given our lives to Jesus? Is our all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Are all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Have we given our bodies a living sacrifice for Jesus? Verse 12 says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. And that is not to say that he denies our eternal life. But what we learned a little bit this morning, he can deny certain things for us. There are certain privileges that may be taken away from us. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Sorry, verse 13, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. And in verse 15, and this is a personal verse, and it should be a personal verse to each person that is born again, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Very important. If you're going to be a teacher to others, you're going to have to study to show thyself approved. That is directly talking to each individual person. That is just in general, all the time. You need to study. You need to be ready. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:15, it says, but sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Always be ready with an answer, especially when it comes to the gospel. You got to have an answer with the gospel. You got to have the Lord sanctified in your heart. And so as being an ambassador for Jesus, see, we got to Jesus has to become first in all of our lives. I believe in personal devotions daily. I really do. I think that is incredibly important. Just like you and your wife need to have a daily relationship. You can't, if you're not going to have a daily conversation, your relationship just not going to thrive the way it would if you did. You got to have a personal relationship with Jesus. You got to do it. And you're going to do it through his word. You're going to do it through prayer. The fact of the matter is, this is not just for you. This is for others, so that you can teach others. It is not a selfish thing. It is an amazing thing, and it is, so you can be a testimony for others and share the gospel. It is so that you can reprove other things as well. The saddest thing is, and then we talked about it a little bit this morning, how some of these, well, I've talked about what the people had said about the 1,000 languages that don't need a Bible. That's so sad. Why are you even classifying yourself as Bible translators when you say that? But the Hindi Bible, this is what it says in the Hindi Bible. So this is the Indian Bible Society, or the Bible Society of India. And this is what it says in there. We acknowledge that no Bible translation is perfect or final. Well, what would you say if I came up here this evening and I just said, by the way, I'm going to tell you some things, but the book I'm going to use is just, I can't promise you it's true, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Well, already you're done. Like, so what? And here's an interesting thing. It says this in the Hindi Bible. Okay? The Hindi Bible is supposed to reach people in India. Well, the Sikhs and the Hindus, their holy books are held very, very high. Okay, so now I come to you as a Hindu or a Sikh, and I say, oh, can I show you something? Can I show you the truth? Oh, by the way, it's not complete truth. Let me just read you the fine print at the beginning of the Bible here. We can't know for sure. We can't know for sure. Oh, well, he'll say, I know for sure. Our books are incredibly holy. We respect our books. We respect our gods. We fear them. What a wicked thing. What are you doing putting that in the Bible? Why? Shouldn't be there. They shouldn't be translating Bibles. So we need to be able to reprove this, and then we need to be able to get a burden from God's word so that we can instead do the work that they're trying to do and give them the truth. Give them a Bible and give them salvation. Give them hope of eternal life so that they as well can be sanctified for the Lord Jesus Christ, so that Jesus can live in their heart and that they can live in heaven. I just can't imagine. I can't fathom why they're doing this. Why are people doing this? But God has called us to be laborers for his harvest. God is praying. He's commanded us to pray. And God has given us direction. He's given us, I guess you could say, a blueprint. We need to know the Bible. We need to be saved. We need to have a testimony. We need to be in church. We need to be ready. We need to pray. And we need to share the gospel. We need to get a burden from God. Are we in a place where we can, when God calls us, that we can know that God is in fact calling us? Do we know what that is like? Do we know what it's like when God is speaking to our hearts and saying that he wants us to do whatever thing? He wants us to be a soldier of Jesus Christ, and he wants us to be a missionary. Do we know what that is like? Are we doing what we can to fulfill God's plan? Are we available at all times for God? Is God first? And it's going to start in our home. It's going to start in our hearts. It's going to start by us having a personal relationship. We're going to pray. We're going to have a prayer life. We're going to have a devotional life. We're going to have a church life. We're going to have a witnessing life. And then that's where it's going to start. And then God can work from there. God can do what he wants to do. we're going to have a giving life. Are we giving? Are we tithing? Are we giving? And do we know why? Do we know it's a real blessing to go through 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. It is a real blessing to know exactly when you're giving your finances. It is a blessing to know what becomes of it and what God does with it, both out there and in your life. See, a lot of people give and that's where it ends. But God wants to bless you with that. See, God wants you to give, not necessarily because he needs your money, but because he wants to use your money and bless people, and then he wants to bless you in return. And in order for that to happen, you're going to have to know from the Bible how that works. See, just like prayer, how is your faith going to increase if you don't have a personal prayer life? And when you're not praying for a missionary, or if you're not praying, let's say, for example, your pastor is praying for a laborer and someone is raised up, but you didn't pray, and you know you didn't, how can you rejoice with him in the same way then if you were unified with your pastor, you were praying, and all of a sudden that happens, and you know, wow, this prayer was answered. You were part of that. See, God wants to bless, and that's a real blessing, and we talked about it this morning, that increases your faith. It increases your faith. One thing, and I'm learning this, my wife is really good at this, but I'm learning this, to write down prayer requests and then pray and then keep track and then write down when they've been answered. That's pretty awesome. You see, then all of a sudden it becomes a relationship thing, and all of a sudden it becomes it just becomes alive. You see what's going on. You see what God is doing. You see how God is using your prayers. And then you see also with the same with giving, when you know you're giving and you see the missionaries and you read their prayer letters and you see what they're doing. I am incredibly encouraged when I read our church's prayer letters. You can go to Liberia, South Africa. We have a lot of the same missionaries you do. And you read Souls Are Getting Saved. I'm always encouraged to read the Rhymes prayer letter. I don't know why. There's a family in church, they're related, and I guess there's that a little more of a connection, but it's just amazing. Like, there's always someone getting saved there, getting baptized. And then now they're doing that other church plant. I was so encouraged by that. What an amazing thing. So you realize that by supporting this family, they have a church there, and all of a sudden there's another church. You realize even that church you're a part of, you realize that? That's real. But you also realize when you pray for these families and they're out in the field, you pray for them and God is answering prayer. God is answering your prayers. So it becomes a relationship thing, and you see the functioning of it, and you just, best way I can describe it is, yeah, just it grows your faith. It grows your faith because you see it. Are we able to reprove the wicked things of this world? And are we able to be bold and able to stand up for Christ? And are we going to be called to be ambassadors? Are we called to be ambassadors for Christ? Do we believe that we're called to be ambassadors for Christ? I'll read the verse here again. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. Many, many of the verses that we've read this weekend talked about prayer. In Acts 13, they were praying. In Matthew 28, they're praying. In Matthew chapter 9, they're praying. In 2 Peter and 1 Peter chapter 3, there's prayer being made. Pray, pray, pray. Are we praying? Are we able to? Can we say that we're praying for our town? Can we say that we're praying for our family? I want to share this. I think I mentioned how that, I think I might have mentioned in a men's meeting, how that my parents are getting close to being saved, and then I just said that I have two sisters, we can't even reach them. But my mom and dad can. My mom and dad can. They have a good relationship with them. My mom has a wonderful relationship with those two girls. And so is it possible that we myself and my siblings can reach my mom and dad, and then my mom and dad can reach my sisters. So should I be hammering my sisters with the gospel? Not at all. I've had brief opportunities, but that's as far as it went. But if my mom and dad get saved, I don't even have to worry about it. They'll take care of it. If my mom and dad get the burden, they'll get saved. So who needs to get saved in your family in order to maybe reach someone else that you just know you cannot reach them because they're completely closed off? Who can get saved in town and reach someone else in town? It's an ongoing thing. And so I was really discouraged. I had a burden for my sister because I just knew I wasn't going to happen. And then when I saw my parents come closer and they changed their minds and now we have a relationship with them, I was very encouraged. That's pretty amazing. And so I believe that. I do believe mom and dad will get saved. I believe mom and dad will get a burden and they'll share the gospel with my siblings. That's an awesome thing. First Peter chapter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord in your hearts. Sanctify the Lord in your hearts. Is the Lord sanctified in your hearts? Is he? Is the Lord first? And are we ready to give an answer? Do we have a Bible study life? Do we care about the things of the Bible? We ought to. If we're in church, we're learning. Obviously, we're getting truth. But it is not solely your pastor's responsibility to teach you. It is only your pastor's responsibility to be your pastor. He is not to be in your home teaching you every day. He is to be in church and teaching you every week. It is you, as a dad and as a mom, to do your part for your children. And when your children get older, they'll already know what to do because they knew what mom and dad did. So are we shaping our lives according to the Bible? Do we have that? Is the Lord sanctified in our hearts? And do we have a study life? Because you will not be able to teach others if you don't know yourself. Let's pray. Dear God, I do pray for each one here. Lord, I pray that the Word of God would be able to work in their hearts. Lord, I pray that we would all just continue to have an opportunity, just learn how to study your word and just be a studious people, that we would fall more and more in love with the Bible. Lord, that we would recognize how blessed we are to have a Bible, and Lord, that we would not take that for granted. Lord, I have multiple Bibles in my home, and there's many people that don't even have a Bible in their language. And so, Lord, I do pray that we would take every opportunity we can to study your word and to know what to do with our lives, to know what not to do and to know what to do. And I pray that you'd bless each one here in Jesus' name.